In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Shartok and Yehuda Hanani continue their discussion about the differences between art and entertainment.
Hi, Yehuda Hanani. I must say, the last time you really got me riled with this business about, you know, sort of this elitist attitude of yours that people like Bernstein, who show off too much and the rest, are, you know, over the top. But I think, Yehuda, I'll be honest, I'm going to call on you to defend yourself because I've been at many of your wonderful Close Encounters concerts. And you inevitably, you know, you've got something in there for everybody, including stuff that we can whistle along to.
Absolutely. Now, we said last time, there is art and there is entertainment. I think that entertainment per se is meant to please, to make you feel good. Art is supposed to challenge you. You have to be a participant. You cannot be passive when you're involved with great art. It requires your input, your intellectual involvement, your emotional involvement. You cannot just lie by the pool and listen to a very complicated Beethoven symphony.
I can.
Then I envy you.
And you should. But let me ask you. But let me ask you this: art and entertainment are separate and distinct. I say art and entertainment can be one and the same.
They can be one and the same. Absolutely. The border between the two is porous. So some entertainment can be very high art, and some art can be very entertaining. There are some works that are specifically designed to please. So you have the Waltzes by Strauss, for example, right?
So what are they?
Everybody knows and everybody loves. Some of them are artistically beautifully crafted and they're entertaining.
What about the New World Symphony? Everybody loves that.
Right. It's very accessible. It has wonderful tunes.
Yes.
It has beautiful colors. It's very optimistic. It has
is it uplifting? Art?
It's great.
It is art.
It's a wonderful piece of music.
Well, I think I've shot holes in your thesis.
Well, yes. I told you it was porous, so you made a few more pores in them. Yeah, there is a flow between entertainment and high art. There's no question about it. And composers use folk music in their highbrow works. And popular artists quote Bach and quote Mozart.
Yeah.
So there is a flow, there's no question.
Well, what about the 12-tone garbage that I can't listen to?
Why do you call it garbage?
Well, because I hate it.
So that's why I call it garbage. This is the dangerous line. You say, I don't know anything about it,
right,
but I don't like it.
Well, no, I know something about it. I'm a musician. I've played around. I know a little bit about this stuff. So I mean, I'm not you, that's for sure. But I know what I like, and I don't like discordant music.
Well, you know,
what you're going to say is you don't know enough to like it.
First of all, these people were trying to rethink what is discordant. So they try to change the language of music. And what used to be considered a dissonance in the Baroque period, they said, no, this is not a dissonance. This is beautiful sound. You just have to get used to hearing it so.
Is that true? I'll never get used to it. I don't like it.
I think that exposure is the big secret. If you grow up listening to something, you experience it differently.
Huh.
I truly believe... history proved me
I'll listen
me right.
by my pool.
You know that when, okay, when Stravinsky wrote his Rite
sure.
of Spring,
yeah.
It was a scandal.
Sure.
There were riots in the concert hall. People were just were up in arms.
One of these days...
Today we listen to it and it's classical music.
And by the way,
how do you explain that?
One of these days we're going to have to, you and I, just have a discussion on what causes riots in the concert hall, because there have been in history. I mean,
When
Mehta brought Wagner to...
That's another issue.
There were riots in the concert
hall. But
this
is not an artistic issue. That's a political issue.
You think art and politics aren't one and the same?
They're connected. They're overlapping, but they're not the same. But definitely there is a connection there.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah. But just to leave the public aside and just to relate to the art itself... I think we should talk about, when we talk about interpretation or what makes a great work, let's try to focus on the art itself and leave the audience out, which means that there are some obvious requirements. I mean, we have to have the right notes, right? We have to have the right rhythm.
How would anybody know that stuff?
We need the right punctuation because it's a language. It has a grammar. So we need to follow that grammar. So... for example, you know, this cute joke. There's a big sign that says "Private beach, no swimming allowed." Right? Mm. And a guy jumps in, and a policeman comes, and he says, "Hey, man, can't you read? Can't you see the sign?" And the man says, "Yeah, I read it. It says, 'Private beach, no.'" Swimming allowed!
That was Alan Shartok speaking to cellist Yehuda Hanani in our segment, Classical Music According to Yehuda. August 15th through the 25th, the Catskill Mountain Foundation will host its third Catskill High Peaks Music Festival, Music with Altitude, a 10-day chamber music festival offering an exciting combination of concerts, literary lectures, films, and masterclasses open to the public. To learn more, visit catskillmtn.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.